This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch
and Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to yet another fun-filled episode of the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Indeed. And on the show today, we have, I'm going to try to get this right, Rob Tassani.
Yes? That sounds good.
Oh,
sounds good.
All right, we got it. VP of Cloud and Technology Solutions for Red Level out of, where you guys are, Novi, Northfield?
Novi, Michigan.
Okay, Novi, okay. Then in the second and third segments, we're going to have our cybersecurity update with Richard Steenen.
Hey, Mike.
Good, Matt.
Hey, and Dan Lorman, who will be calling in from Grand Ledge, or someplace, secure, undisclosed location.
Yeah, probably what it is. Yeah, okay. He's in a base somewhere. And then in the fourth segment, we hope Rick Beckers from Cloud Tech One University hasn't got to the studio yet, but we remain optimistic that will happen.
Yes, indeed. And if he doesn't, you know, Mike will just entertain you with a little soft shoe up here on the table.
There
and,
you go. I've got a little sound effects machine right in front of me.
Yeah, that'll make really compelling radio.
Cool.
I'm quite certain about that.
Yeah, okay.
But Rob... Tell us a little bit about Red Level. I know we've had folks from Red Level on the show before. Give us a little bit of background on the company to start with, please.
Sure. So Red Level Networks is based in Novi, Michigan, and been in business since 2004, and we're an IT services and consulting firm. So we deal with everything IT related, from everything phone systems all the way up to internet and enterprise solutions.
Okay. And how many employees roughly right now?
35 right now.
Okay.
Go ahead and ask. I know you want to.
Oh, yeah. I always do. Whenever I have a local company on, I always ask, do you have any openings right now? And if so, for what skill sets and how can people apply? That's left over from the recession when, you know, everybody was looking for work.
He's got an employment agency on the side. He's just not telling you that.
Yeah. So we actually have a couple openings right now. One is a controller. Another one is... gentleman or lady on my team here for the CTS team, which is our cloud and technology solutions, and another member for our managed services. So even outside of that, I think there's a couple spots for our managed services opening.
Okay. And you go to the website, company website, for to apply for those?
Yep. Right on the website, redlevelnetworks.com.
Okay.
Speaking of Red Level... But segueing in there, you know.
Yeah.
Has started out with June. You started out with a bang in your recent spring cleaning event. Drew quite a big crowd to Novi. What was that all about?
Yeah, so spring cleaning is it's something that we all like to do and or something well,
I,
we all
I,
don't like to
I
do,
was
I should
say.
Say.
I won't say we like it, but we do feel compelled.
Honey-do list.
Yeah. It's our honey-do list that, for the IT portion of things, right? So with IT, you typically... for the IT folks, they don't like to do this because there's a lot of garbage inside of here that could be good, could be bad. It all depends. Most of the time, it's you get mistakes that happen from omissions or commissions, and they can have far-reaching results and change the nature of the technology of the environment. So, one of the things that that our spring cleaning event brought to light is it gave a place for all of our clients and any members within the industry to bring their garbage out to us. And we had a local recycling company that kind of came out with their big trucks to give you certificates of destruction of your equipment. So that was really good. Even on top of that, we had Dell there to kind of showcase all the new stuff that's coming out in the industry. So kind of bringing your old and what's new out there.
So you're destroying the hard drives on PCs and stuff?
Yeah. That's the certificate of destruction that they would get if they brought that out. And then other stuff is just, you know, old printers, old monitors, copiers, whatever. Kind of like the office space thing, except you don't get to go out and bash it in the field.
Yeah, baseball bats.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, there's a lot of heavy metals in that stuff, and I'm not referring to the music with the headbanging either, you know, so...
Sure.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of lead solder and, you know, stuff like that. So you want to dispose of this stuff carefully, correct? And the data you especially want to dispose of carefully because that could come back.
Did you drill a hole in the hard drive? How'd you do that?
I don't know. The recycling company does it. I think they have a shredder built inside of their truck, so they just toss the hard drives inside there, and you make a bunch of noise.
Well, have you ever looked at the inside of a paper shredder? You know, it's got like those hammers that come together and you know, shred stuff. I went to a computer destruction company once in Detroit. I just visited them for a story I was working on, and it's a giant version of a paper shredder. It looks exactly the same. It's just that the hammers are like way bigger than they are in a paper shredder. Yeah, it makes a god awful noise, and
There's a whole industry segment called ITAD, IT asset destruction, and there's a Gartner Magic Quadrant for it.
No kidding, boy. Gartner's got everything going on, don't they?
All right, so that's pretty magic. Yes. Well, okay. Anyway, so the spring cleaning event wasn't the only event for Red Level. Last Thursday, you had a webinar. Data is the new oil, or maybe, as I like to say, the new water, new fresh water.
Yes.
How is it powering your business? So, what were some of the highlights of that event?
Sure. So, last week with the webinar, we partnered up with Dell and brought in presented three real world case scenarios from our clients. One was a healthcare, one was a financial services, and the other one was from the legal sector on how business growth and correlates to the data impact and their ability to maintain their focus on the technology and the clients that they serve. So Red Level was able to work with them and build strategic plans. And we also have a on-demand version of that available at redlevelnetworks.com as well that people can go out there and listen to. It's about an hour long.
Okay.
So, Rob, I hear you're quite the networking guru, among other technologies. Can you tell us a bit about the importance of proper networking and what it takes to achieve it?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Basically, I'll start with a funny story here. So when we first started Red Level, it was we were going out to some small mom-and-pop shop places, and they kept complaining about their network. They had intermittent connectivity issues, and we'd go out there all the time and troubleshoot, and everything would be fine when we're out there. And lo and behold, the one time we were out there, their dog was laying on the switch. It was laying on the floor, dog laying on it
every time,
and you know, they lose connectivity, and it's like, you know, hello,
dog day afternoon.
That's there. Like the squirrels that cause power outages.
Yeah,
right? It's the same kind of deal. So
exactly. So I mean, networking is the underlying architecture that builds that everything rides on inside of your organization. So it's the highway that carries your business productivity. Without a firmly and solid built plan network infrastructure, your business productivity is going to suffer totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Can you explain what Dell means by future ready? I know that's one of your taglines with the company, is being future ready.
Yeah, so future ready, we have this magic crystal ball, and we can just predict everything. So that's total future ready.
Cool. I need that for the next horse race. You know, I've been having some bad luck with that.
I was going to say, there's some pretty big lotto pots coming up. I'll take it for that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, future ready is really what I consider the best thing since sliced bread. So the way that Dell presents future ready is, instead of you purchasing a typical switch that you do nowadays for the current speed you need right now, and then having to uproot that and replace it for the next speed you want inside of your network infrastructure down the road, and have to have that heavy lifting and that forklift upgrade, the switches that they create nowadays on the networking aspect actually has all that speed built into it, and it's just a matter of replacing optics. So the cables that you plug into the network ports, you replace those for the speed you want. So it goes 1 gig, 10 gig, 40 gig, 25 gig, all the way up to 100 gig, and you just replace an optics, and it's the same switch. So you don't have to necessarily do that forklift upgrade down the road. You just replace an optic. You want to start out with 10 gig and then go to 100 gig? Just replace it.
So how does that work with the different cables? Is that more multiplexing in terms of the the wavelengths of light that are being passed through the cable, or how do you get more bandwidth out of a different cable?
Sure. So the cable, as your typical network people know, the RJ45 cable started with Cat5, Cat5e, Cat6, and then some different flavors of Cat6. It's the same thing as that, is where it's either got more twist inside of the cable for the attenuation, that sort of stuff, to where that signal will go farther and faster. So some of the optics that they're talking about now are the 10 gig optics and other pieces of equipment that, based on the plug that you put inside of that switch port, it auto senses what connectivity you're going to set that up.
Interesting. So there's is that the FX2 bleh, I can do it platform, or is that what that is or now, or is that different?
No, actually, that's a little bit different. So Force 10 is the networking side of things, and that's the switching side. The FX2 platform is Dell and Intel's integrated kind of modular converged infrastructure. So it's basically a chassis with all the networking components in the back end of it. And then you can plug in different modular servers on the front side, so kind of blades versus racks and that sort of stuff. It's all modular, so you can go full height, half height, quarter height blades. Mm. It's really sweet.
So it sounds like you could pack a lot more capacity in the same size cabinet. Then.
Exactly, yeah. So most of our clients are starting to go to data centers, and as you know with data centers, it's all based on rack space and the amount of power and the amount of overall racks. So the more you can get inside of a condensed version, you don't have to pay for that extra rack or anything like that. So it saves them money in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what options are available on the this platform for networking on the FX?
Sure. So the FX2 takes typical PCIe cards in the back. So if you want to start out with 1 gig internet interfaces and go to 10 gig or 25 gig, et cetera, they all match the future ready switch ports as well. So that way you can, if you want to upgrade without, again, forklift upgrading your servers or anything like that, just add in those PCI cards and then you can share them or dedicate them to the blades inside.
Okay. So that sounds like it's pretty easy to do that upgrade then.
Yeah, it's actually not bad at all. It's actually more cost-effective than running with typical rack versus rack servers versus normal blades, which are more enterprise and very expensive. So,
all right. So, does the FX platform support the same speeds as offered by future-ready networking solutions?
Yes, they do. I'm kind of glad you asked that here. So, Dell's concept of future-ready really represents that entire flexibility and modularity of putting all these pieces into place real simply and easily, so that way you can upgrade at any point in time. You don't have to stick with one platform or one speed. You're able to, again, put in the future ready pieces and expand on the fly.
Okay, so once again, it's Rob Tassani from Red Level Networks. Give us your title again, Rob.
Vice President of Cloud and Technology Solutions.
Okay, and if people want more information on any of these technologies we've discussed here today?
Yeah, they can go to our website at redlevelnetworks.com.
Okay.
And check us out.
Okay. And once again, folks, there are employment opportunities there. I can't say this enough. So
go ahead, say it again.
All right. All right, thanks very much. I think we're finished with this segment now. We're just about out of time here. So thanks once again to Rob Tassani of Red Level Networks. And we'll be right back with our security update with Dan Lorman and Richard Steenan. But right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M Squared TechCast, second segment in the studio. Well, I got to get a sound effect here. Let me get right here. Hey, Richard Steenan.
I love the intro. Thank you.
Yeah, and on the line, calling in from, I'm assuming, the Lansing area, is Dan Lorman. Yes, Dan?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Okay. Well, I was going to get you a...
That's our drama sting for a security update there.
Yeah, there's a new toy on the table, cool. And I have to play with it. You know, I just can't resist. So, okay, I got it out of my system. So these guys are going to talk about, I know one of the big topics that we didn't cover last time, Dan, that you're keen on, is what will happen to the security, not only in Britain and Europe, but in the United States, if the Brits vote to leave the economic union, and that vote is later this week, I believe.
Thursday, I think.
Thursday,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Brexit's a big topic. In fact, you know, the trends, the polls were all saying about a week ago, it was looking more and more like leave. But now, over the weekend and now, like today, I guess stock markets, like even today, up 200 points, thinking they're going to stay. So it's hard to know one way or the other, but I do think the implications are huge.
And it had something to do with that political assassination, I guess, right? That was one of the drivers?
Exactly, yeah. I think that was one of the big stories, was one of their MPs, that members of parliament, was,
assassinated, quite literally, shot, stabbed, and everything else. Yeah,
it was a very sad story. Got a lot of, you know, 3 days of mourning. I think in the UK it was a big story around the world, and but now they're back into, you know, the final stretch here.
All right, and one of the things I also heard about the Brexit was that they were it does tend to break down along generational lines. Young people are more into staying in the EU than older folks are in England, but it was sort of reassuring to know that the mother country is a lot like the United States, in that they were thinking that it might fail and England might leave the European Union because young people don't vote there any more than they vote here.
Right.
And there was also a big problem with it, the vote interfering with the European Soccer Championship.
Well, so.
I mean, obviously, you know, what's more important, the future of your country or a game? You know, what the heck?
Well, soccer is everything to the Europeans,
God, yes.
Let me tell you. So,
yes,
so,
it's not life or death. It's much more important than that. Right?
So, Dan, what are the security implications? I can think of on the regulatory side, it's going to get a lot more complicated if we've got to deal with yet another regulatory regime.
Yeah, I think there's a number of them. I mean, this is a piece that I think, you know, Government Technology Magazine, you can read the blog, but, you know, really looking at all the EU, the issue of open borders, you know, the free trade, but a lot of cybersecurity and privacy regulations regarding will England, you know, be under the European Union privacy rules? Will they be under a lot of the new cyber laws and policies that have just been put in place, really about how working together across borders? There are really two different schools of thought on this. One that, you know, if they do leave, it'll be be a multi-year gradual kind of smooth transition, if you will. But the other thought is that it, you know, could be, I don't say all hell breaks loose, but really they're kind of their own, island their own, and none of this will comply anymore, apply. And some people think that's really great. Some people think that's really going to be a huge challenge and a real problem. So there's really two very, very different schools of thought on what the implications will be if the vote is leave. But I think it certainly will have big security implications, both, you know, literally the physical security as far as defense force, those kinds of things, but also cybersecurity as well.
Yeah, from my perspective, I've seen Europe itself tending towards more data privacy regulation in support of individual privacy. And lately, the UK seems to have gone off the deep end as far as, you know, allowing more surveillance, you know, all to protect their citizens against terrorism, et cetera. And so, I mean, even though that's not a driver for any talk of Brexit, if there were an exit, then we'd really see those two different ways of approaching data privacy and security regulation come into play.
I'm told that when you go to London, and I haven't been there in a while, that you cannot go anywhere without being on a video monitor somewhere, right? Is it that much?
Certainly in London. They actually use the CCTV cameras to track your license plate and then charge you more if you drive into the inner city.
No kidding.
Yep, so it costs more. So you got to like stop and pull over, and you can use a device or you can use your app to pay this extra fee for driving in the inner city.
And that's what, the reduced traffic or supply?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Seems to work.
So I think the other question, Richard, I'd ask you is, you know, in Europe, I think many people believe, I certainly would be in this camp, that the UK is kind of leaders in the cybersecurity space, and they're almost a counterbalancing, you know, body to, you know, in the EU, that, you know, on many issues, they're kind of on one side, and you have a lot of other people on the other side, And they also have, obviously, with GCHQ and a lot of their different their history, their a lot of capability in the UK, that, you know, it really is a positive force in a sense for European cybersecurity. I mean, what are your views around that? I mean, do you see England, United Kingdom, as a leader in Europe?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. When you look at the number of vendors alone that, you know, are based in the UK versus the rest of Europe. London is, in England, is way ahead, and I include the Ireland's and Scotland in there too. So I think there's, I counted maybe 41 total vendors, but I put some, you know, right behind Canada as far as the biggest concentration of security vendors. And now, you know, those companies are starting to move over here to the U.S. and starting to have an impact. And all of this, you know, in this post Snowden era, where every country is trying to develop its own security. And, of course, that is a divisive factor between the UK and Germany in particular. But, you know, when you look at what's really going on underneath, everybody's intelligence agencies are talking to everybody else's. So it's kind of a, you know, fraternity going on there.
Well, and everybody's spying on everybody else too, correct? I mean,
that's right. Just a game.
All right.
And anybody that's shocked by that, I find that amusing, right?
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right.
Like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, of course, yeah, sure. So,
but there's already a lack of trust. And, you know, I mean, I lived in England for 7 years in the 90s, and it was always like, you know, the frogs and the, you know, the French and the English, you know. Just, I won't get into all that whole, you know, dialogue right now. But, I mean, if it were to happen, I think there would be, you know, with all those companies you mentioned, Richard, don't you think there'd be more of a trust problem even further between, say, the UK and Europe? I mean, I could see lots of different, you know, cracks opening up.
Oh, yeah. You know, I call it digital mercantilism. So we're trying to draw the boundaries and buy local. In the U.S., of course, we'd say buy American. And that's a big issue for me. It's like you should be buying the best products for security, but at the same time, you shouldn't trust any product, right? You know, now we know that there are backdoors in some very well-known products from Cisco and Juniper and Huawei, got to throw them in there, and Dell and HP. You know, so these backdoors are in there, but none of these vendors have done anything about them. And then really the only solution is not to trust the products anymore and start having multiple products to spot, you know, basically monitor each other.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
So what else is going on out there in the wild and wacky world of cybersecurity?
Man, everywhere I go, it's still all ransomware, ransomware, ransomware. That's, I'm sure you're finding the same thing, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing ransomware is a huge story. We talked a lot about it. The other big one that I'm hearing a lot about is whaling, which is kind of the, you know, almost phishing 3.0. You know, we had phishing and we have spear phishing, and then, you know, now we have whaling, which, you know, really gets at, really, some people call it CEO fraud, but the real concept being that going out, the bad guys going after the big fish, and, you know, even low tech attacks, meaning if you can build trust up with some accountant in the accounting office and make them think that you're a supplier or you're, you know, a partner in some way, or even make them think you're a legitimate channel, and pretending, you know, or even getting the credentials of the CEO of a company. I mean, there's been a number of stories. The FBI has come out with reports on this, a number of stories of people being tricked into thinking the CEO was telling them to do a fund transfer or to do some kind of action that was obviously not the CEO, was a bad guy. The biggest story was Alpha Payroll. I know what your thoughts are on that, Richard, but you know the story of basically an accountant felt like they were supposed to transfer the Social Security numbers of their that they had on their different customers over to a third party, and then that was then used to then file tax returns, IRS tax returns, and then after they kind of reversed engineered it, they figured out that this whole whaling thing had happened, and the person had been tricked into sending off this sensitive information to a third party.
Yeah, you know, and that really puts a hole in my stance before that, which was, hey, just have a policy that the CEO, you know, just issues an announcement to everybody that he or she will never, ever ask somebody to transfer money without following a certain procedure that goes outside of the internet. But now, you know, what about transferring a whole bunch of forms and data and all these things? You really have to start building in a policies and procedures that can't be social engineered so easily. I mean, this just goes back 100-150 years in time when we had to do this to counter audit frauds. Now we have to do it with adversaries that are all over the world.
Do you think we might have to go back to the era when people actually had to call each other on the telephone?
Oh, God, no. Couldn't have that.
Absolutely. Call, video conference, piece of paper signed, or a fax. Yep.
Yeah, and I think along those same lines is you know, people don't, you know, they get the credentials. They think this is coming. I think a couple of the stories were, you know, they knew that they did surveillance on the CEO. They knew they were on a fishing trip, literally on a fishing trip. And it was like, you know, I can't get to my account today. They sent it. They got access to the person's Gmail account, and they sent a Gmail message kind of, you know, basically going completely around the normal channels and saying, hey, I can't get this done. I'll get the forms submitted tomorrow. They named the forms. They knew exactly what forms needed to be done. Said, I can't get those done today. Can you go ahead and do this, and I'll submit the forms tomorrow? And the person believed it.
Wow.
I mean, so, you know, really, almost like you think there's an insider in your midst, but these people are doing surveillance on these CEOs, getting the credentials, and just really infiltrating the processes of these organizations.
This has got to be a movie starring Nicolas Cage. It's going to be good.
Yeah, all right. Somebody, right?
Well, you know you can get Nicolas Cage because he'll clearly appear in anything.
Yeah, so. He will. Yes, yes. If there's money, he's there, right? So, could be our next book. We haven't done the sequel to Cyber Stiletto, have we, Richard?
There we go.
Okay, we got about a minute left, and then in the second segment, we'll be talking about that big auto security event in July. So, quick wrap here. What else do you want to say about what's going on?
Hey, Dan, I saw a Security Mentor demoed at the Gartner event last week. So that was the first time exposed to it. Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's great. Even I could learn something from that. I took a selfie with the CTO. I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that's great. Well, yeah, the whole industry is really hot right now. I mean, everything's hopping, and I think one of the other big issues out there, Mike, is just literally the talent issue is still a huge issue out there. I agree with Richard. Ransomware is the number one thing out, but, you know, the job market is still hot, and there's still a shortage of quality people. So
I can tell it's hot because I'm getting job offers.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. We got a quick break here. We'll come back, and we can pick it up from there, and then we'll also be talking about the Auto Cybersecurity Summit that I know that Dan is heavily involved in July. This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M-Squared TechCast.
Whatever we call
it. Edit that out there, Foster. Okay. TechCast. There we go.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to the third segment of M Squared TechCast, and I got it right this time.
All right.
Yeah. And so while we were talking a little bit in the second segment about job opportunities in this space, and even Richard's getting people trying to hire him, and he don't work for nobody but Richard, right? So lean in there, Richard.
Am I supposed to say something?
Yeah, you're
to
supposed
that?
To comment there. You know,
so. No comment.
Oh, okay, all right.
Which we all know is journalese for I am guilty of some horrible crime.
Yeah.
Know, right? Whenever everyone says
that's
no comment.
It.
Right.
Okay.
I'll hire him.
Okay, well, there you go. You get a job offer there. So.
There's another one.
So anyway, let's talk about Dan's big project coming up in July, the inaugural Auto Cybersecurity Summit. Take it away, Dan. Give us the details.
Yeah, so actually it's being run by Billington Cybersecurity, but it's a global automotive cybersecurity summit, and read all about it online. I know Mike's got we'll make sure we get the details out in My Tech News, but it's July 22nd at the Cobo Center in Detroit. It's going to be a day-long event, the first really global automotive cybersecurity summit. So the focus is on automotive cybersecurity. Some of the speakers they have lined up are U.S. Secretary of Transportation Anthony Fox, CEOs of General Motors, of Lyft, General Dynamics, which is Mary Barra, Chairman and CEO of General Motors. We have really it's kind of an all-star cast of different people from around the country and around the world, people coming in. And the focus is really on, you know, this core issue of cybersecurity, mobility, and, you know, can we and how can we protect the new vehicles that are more and more, as the 2017 model year comes out, just more and more connected vehicles. And so various different topics around that.
Yeah, I'm excited that Tom Billington is doing this because he's created a fabulous cyber summit in D.C. over the last 3 years. He always gets the best speakers. So this is definitely – it's cool to see him branching out, one, into automotive, but two, into our region. I'm loving it.
Well, and in the case with autos is like everything else, it seems like these days, the engineers decide, hey, let's just hook this up to Wi-Fi or the internet or something and – what security? Why should we worry about stuff like that? What could go wrong, right?
Yeah, at least it's different. As you know, in my book, I covered...
Go ahead. Give the title of that book. Richard.
Oh, it is There Will Be Cyber War.
Thank you.
And
right.
I cover the Internet of Military Things. So sure, just in wow. The people who designed, you know, jet aircraft back then in the late 90s when all of our current jet aircraft were being designed... would never think that a hacker would get a hold of them, right? Because hackers were kids, and one really good defense against having your product hacked is to make sure it costs more than $500, so no kids will get a hold of it, right? Obviously, that's not the case anymore.
No.
Especially when, you know, you've got nation states stealing all the information, design information. But cars are in between there, right? So certainly a jet aircraft or, you know, an airliner, you got some hope that some kids aren't hacking it.
Well, they can hack the Wi-Fi system inside the plane because
yeah,
I've read
it,
about that.
They're flying it.
Yeah,
they're
right,
in it.
Right.
So
yeah,
they're kind of putting themselves at risk, too. So
sure.
Maybe they'll think twice before they click the off button.
Right.
But in a car, they do play around with cars, and they can get a hold of them. And there are a whole bunch of them driving by all the time. So they can just sit there on the side of the road. And we've seen that demonstrated with a Jeep by a couple kids and a journalist. So I think we're... For once, we are actually addressing this early. And I think the difference between this and everything else is I call it the Internet of Things that can kill you.
That's
I like it. I haven't heard that term
before.
Yeah,
that's better than my Internet of Things that could be hacked.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so it's cars and airplanes and drones for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And machines and robots in manufacturing plants.
Right.
All those things, you should do everything possible to prevent them from ever being hacked.
I think we talked about that on a previous show where they were hacking the presses. Can you imagine the die setter who's inside a 50-ton right. press and they hack it? Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, they do have half a die setter.
Yeah.
When I was at PwC, we accidentally shut the ovens at a Nabisco factory on the bakers. You know, you have wheel-in, wheel-out ovens.
Uh-huh.
We shut the doors on them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They were okay.
That's no good. All right, so tell us a little bit more about
it. It must have just been on warm or something.
Yeah,
I guess.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah.
So Dan, tell us a little bit more
like
about
sauna.
That event. Is there a website for
sure.
it that people can go to? Or
Yeah, there is. You can go to, it's kind of a long word, but BillingtonCybersecurity.com. So BillingtonCybersecurity.com. Click on the Global Automotive Summit, and you'll see, as Richard mentioned, Tom Billington does a lot of different events in D.C. And I just wanted to point out as well, Mike, that, you know, obviously there's the big automakers, you know, the suppliers, Tier 1, Tier 2 suppliers in Michigan. Obviously, this is a big theme for the governor, for Michigan as a whole. But really, it's not just related to the automakers. I mean, you've got the roads, you've got transportation, you've got, you know, government, state government, federal government, you've got the FBI, the Department of Justice, Federal Trade Commission. There's going to be senators there, I guess. There's going to be a few, not just the CEOs of the companies, but really, it's when you think the broader ecosystem of Michigan cybersecurity, there's probably a trickle down to almost all of us, you know, somewhere in the Detroit area. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, what are the threats? What are the current threats people are seeing? How are people going about that? So that's one of the topics. Emerging issues, best practices surrounding the connected car, understanding autonomous vehicles and cybersecurity. What are the issues? What are the challenges? Who's working the problems? You know, discovering the security risks and solutions in infotainment and telematics, can't even say it, of cybersecurity. Building partnerships, obviously, with different tier one, tier two companies, security researches, academia. A lot of universities are going to be the University of Michigan, Michigan State, a number of other technology companies that have been kind of spin off in the Ann Arbor area there. And then inside of you from cybersecurity thought leaders and best practices. So really, it's going to be a number of different perspectives, both, you know, from the highest levels of the CEO of the big companies, but then there's going to be some specific sessions on cyber threats, on what's kind of the hot, you know, bleeding edge, if you will, of these topics.
Well, sorry, Richard. Autonomous and connected vehicles is like the thing that Detroit's going after now. So, yeah, it very much is in our wheelhouse.
Yes, and I was just looking at the speaker list. They've got a lot of, GM CEO Mary Barra is going to speak. The director of NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, is going to speak. The U.S. Secretary of Transportation, Anthony Fox, is going to speak. They've got people from Lyft, people from Thomson Reuters, General Dynamics, CEO, Symantec, Department of Homeland Security, a deputy director is going to be there. I mean, it's a really good list of speakers, it looks like.
But I'm not speaking. I don't know why.
Well, heck, we got to fix that. We got to fix that, Dan. We got to get Richard on that format.
We are going to get Richard there. Richard, the good thing is this. Richard's always speaking at the Governor's Cyber Summit every year as a keynote. He does a great job. And I suspect we'll probably see him again at that at the end of October. So,
well, you know, that week of the auto cyber meeting is the week of some convention going on in Cleveland, and I'm actually going to be there.
You're going to be at the Republican
National Convention.
Really?
There's an offsite, you know, educational thing at one of the universities in Cleveland, and it's all on cyber war.
I thought it was because you were a Trump delegate or something.
Yeah. I wish I were. You'd know what I'd do with my vote.
Okay, so is there a charge to attend this? Is it invitation only? How does one find out these things?
The website, there is a charge, and there are, you know, I'll tell you, there's also discounts for a number of different organizations. So if members of InfraGuard can get a discount, ISSA, ISACA, I mean, almost any group, you know, those are the three that I know for sure have discounts, but I know that almost any, I think, Automation Alley.
Larry Tech. We got to get Larry Tech to have one, right?
Yes.
And you can get a half-price ticket. But, yeah, the website I mentioned, Billington Cybersecurity, has, you know, how you can sign up, more details, and then what the pricing is.
Yeah, if you're I'm just looking at it right now. The regular corporate rate is $595, but there's a $145 academic rate. Anyone involved with the government and military is free. Press is free, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, press free.
Boy, had me worried for a second. I was thinking $500.
Hey, Mike, you should think about a live show down there, man. It could be interesting.
Well, it depends on what day of the week is it. What day is it?
by Thursday.
It's a Friday.
No, it's Thursday.
It's a Thursday. We can tape it.
Or, no, wait. July 22nd. Let me look here. Okay.
Friday. The Thursday night, there is a VIP invitation only event on Thursday evening. But then the main event is Friday.
Yeah, well, maybe we could tape something, do some interviews or something.
Yeah,
like
we should talk to Dave about that going down there.
That big time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at Jessica. Could we do that, Jessica?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if she says it, then
like,
we know it's
Dave,
gold.
Then
David better
it's gold
do it.
If Jessica
yeah, like, let me ask Dave, though.
Oh, okay. No, Dave doesn't want to run afoul of you. It doesn't work the other way around. So if you say it's happening, it's happening.
So. We know who really calls the shots around
this
studio.
Little pop stand
here. Dave, you know. Okay. So anyway, what else can we – I guess we got 2 minutes?
Yep, about that.
All right. So 2 minutes. Let's anything else you want to say about the conference, Dan?
No, I encourage people to spread the word, reach out, look at the website. July 22nd is a Friday. I really think it's going to be a great event, and I'm hoping it's one, you know, the first, you know, of many. You know, it is the first, we know that, but I mean the inaugural, meaning there's going to be a second and a third and a fourth. So I think the hope is that we can build on this and that we'll see another one next summer.
Okay. So let's give them that website address one more time. I know those people driving who are listening through HD radio or something, they haven't had a chance to write this down, so give it to them one more time.
Yeah, it's www.billingtoncybersecurity.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, Billington Cybersecurity, one word, .com. And then from there you'll see a couple different options, but the Global Automotive Cybersecurity Summit. There's only one of those at the Billington website. So BillingtonCybersecurity.com and then the Global Automotive Cybersecurity Summit in Detroit at the Cobo Center.
Okay. And, Richard, what do you got going on here in the last minute or so? I know you're the traveling man. I get your Facebook feed. Where do you head next?
Yeah, I'll be in New York next week, so just for a day trip. But as I've always told people, it's like, look, I can get to downtown Manhattan before you can commute in on your train from Detroit. So you have to leave early, but a flight to LaGuardia or something, and you're downtown, and it's like 9 a.m., and everybody else is still getting off the train.
I'm sure. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we're going to leave it at that. We'll have the dynamic duo back next month for what's happening on the latest things in cybersecurity. But for now, this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. We'll be right back with Rick Beckers of Cloud Tech One University. Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with the fourth and final segment of today's M Squared TechCast. We have a guest in the studio here, Rick Beckers, to talk about Cloud Tech One University and its next session on BYOD, Bring Your Own Device, and how companies and enterprises manage that. Welcome, Rick.
Thank you very much.
All right. So tell us a little bit about Cloud Tech One University. What is Cloud Tech One? How did it get started? That kind of thing.
Do we have enough time? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
What, we have 14 minutes.
Yeah, 13 minutes and 50, 49, 48. Yeah, okay.
All right. Cloud Tech One is a managed service provider, and it's a phrase that pretty much everybody knows. But in that realm, we stay in the small to medium business era. And we have our clients totally outsourcing their technology services to us, whether it's data or VoIP or security cameras, et cetera. And we've been doing that for about 13 years.
Wow.
I've been around in the industry 35.
Okay.
So this is just the latter third.
I never would have guessed.
So you're going back to...
I have a face for radio. Like, what are you talking about?
I was thinking like 39 years old tops, you know? So.
Okay. I like Mike. So have you been drinking? Have you been drinking?
So you probably go back to the days of mainframes and dumb terminals and all that good stuff.
I go back to the days of typewriters.
Oh, punch cards.
Yeah, I was actually a very accomplished typewriter repairman back in the day. And
I'll be darned.
Suddenly had to make a choice as to how I was going to feed my family when they started disappearing off the desktops.
Mm-hmm.
Replaced with word processors and computers and...
What was that? IBM had that Selectric with the little ball
thing? With the ball, yeah.
That was me, babe. I was the champ. I could type 110 words a minute on that thing, and that was big because the executive secretaries could type accurately at that speed, as could I, and all the other typewriter repairmen could not.
You know, it's funny. A friend of mine sent me a postcard from the Museum of Technology, which I believe is in New York, and one of the exhibits is a selection of IBM Selectric balls in different fonts.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I showed it to my kids. They had no idea what it was. They were like, what on earth is that?
Right. You know, a dot matrix printer. Right.
The daisy wheel.
Yeah. Daisy wheel printer.
Wow. That I haven't heard in a long time.
5 1/4 floppy drive.
Right. 8-inch.
Yeah, well, eight inches.
Back when they actually flopped, right?
Yeah. So,
all right. Let's get back to this century here.
We're reminiscing. But all of those things have been in the evolution of my career, and I've kept up, which has been very difficult, but I have, because I'm very passionate about helping businesses, you know, get bigger, grow faster, and make more money. And every year, there's new businesses that come out, which is the most interesting part. Right? Mm-hmm. You're not just doing the same things for the same types of businesses, but you get the inside view of some of these new startup companies and get to see how they do things and help them do that better. And so that's, for me, a passion.
Yeah, that's got to be fun.
Absolutely.
So you're basically telling people how to deal with one of the things, these new companies full of people who all have their own gizmos and devices. We all have smartphones now. A lot of people have tablets, that kind of thing. They want to bring them to work. They want to use them on the company network, right?
Their kids have used them and surfed every site in the world, picked up every virus. But go ahead.
I was going to say, how do you manage that as a company?
Well, it comes in from a lot of different angles, and it comes in for a lot of different reasons. I mean, it's not just because the employee user wants to bring their own device. You know, back in the day, the corporate employer would get their devices free, and every carrier would chase them down and say, "Hey, I'll give you free devices if you sign up with us." And at that point, they were able to say yes and then dictate to their employees that this is what you're going to use, and it was easy to manage. Well, those giveaways are gone now. As you know, there's no contracts anymore, and they don't give you a break on the hardware. You either buy it up front or you buy it over time on pretty much a lease. And so everybody wants to choose specifically which device they have, which then becomes a challenge for the IT support people in the organization. And so over time, this has evolved, and now there are cloud-based products out there that will allow you to do mobile data management. And it used to be split up. It used to be that you'd have to have the one on the corporate side and the other one on the BOID side. And now they've come together. They've converged. They give you the ability to deny or deploy applications, to lock them, to password reset them, to completely wipe them. all of those types of things. And I don't think a whole lot of people know about it just yet. It's been around, you know, at this level, very efficient level anyway, for about 9 months. So it's pretty commonplace and mature now, and we've tried it over and over again. And you know, there isn't any reason why everybody shouldn't know about it. So.
And you're going to tell more people about it in July at the next session of Cloud Tech One University, right?
That's correct. July 20th at our Rochester Hills location near the corner of John R. and South Boulevard. You can go to our website, www.cloudtechone.com, click on the events column, and sign up there. And we'll feed you. Come out at 11 a.m. Business decision makers and people who want to be in the know on the business side of things come in at 11 a.m., and we feed you and give you as much information as we can without drowning you in it. And then if you'd like, you can always keep in touch with us through our newsletter and other means, because we have these on an ongoing basis. These are monthly things. And then we don't forget about the IT side of the house, those business professionals that have to deal and know how to use this tool.
Mm-hmm.
At 3 p.m., we also have another session where we invite them in. We invite agents who are people who would want to sell this type of product to their clients and help them understand it. We invite IT professionals who have to deploy it and use it on a day-to-day basis. Anybody on that side of the equation, we try to keep the two crowds separate so that we don't have...
So they'd fight anyway, probably.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. You know, so. But that way there's nobody trying to sell anybody anything in these seminars, and that's not what we do. It's 100% informational, and it's there to just to get people to more easily adapt to the cloud technologies that are coming out.
And you'd think this would be a $500 value, but no. How much is it, Rick?
It's free.
Wow. Wow.
There is such a thing as a free lunch.
There is. There is. Yes. And it'd be on July 20th at Cloud Tech One University out in Rochester Hills. Right. Now, we've got to get you to move this for a guy who lives in Ann Arbor. That's a pull. So we'll have to rotate some of these spots around a little bit.
You know? We are. As you may know from the last time we talked, you know, I'm an officer now on Automation Alley's Technology Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the use of that facility.
Oh, and, Troy, yeah, that's
closer. Any of you out there who have a facility large enough that would like to help us host one of these, by all means, reach out, you know, send me an email, text me, whatever you need to do. We'll pass it around. We don't have a selfish reason for it to be under our roof. We're a virtual organization, and so we should be able to take these virtually anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Matt. You want to ask your question.
Oh,
I
yes,
can
I do.
See it is bubbling up. Go ahead, fire.
This is something I ask everybody. It's left over from the last recession. Every tech story I did about a local tech company, I always ask, do you have any openings, and if so, in what skill sets? So are you guys hiring anyone right now?
Absolutely. Okay. And it's actually becoming, surprisingly enough, it's becoming one of the hardest things to do.
Sure.
Not because...
I hear that a lot.
We don't have good talent in Southeast Michigan, because we have great talent in Southeast Michigan, and I'm an evangelist, you know, for that cause. But, you know, things are growing so rapidly that they're consumed and they're hired left and right, and so even we have a hard time.
Yeah, tech talent is getting perilously close to full employment, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So
what we need is network engineers. I need desktop engineers. I need for all the media stuff that we're doing, not unlike this, I need web designers, graphic designers, you know, all of the different talent pools that you can imagine with technology and the support of it. We're open to that and needing people to help us, because we have just an onslaught of business. We must be doing something right.
Keeping Nathan real busy, are you?
Right, absolutely.
That's good. You want to keep him, you know, idle hands are the devil's workshop.
And
so.
His hands, you know, they do tend to become idle quickly. So I do have to prod him along.
So how many employees are you at right now?
We're at 18.
Okay. That's a pretty good sized shop for an IT company.
Well, so, it is, yeah. And that's just our direct people. You know, we've got people. Obviously, we're a cloud organization.
Project basis, right?
Well, yeah. Project basis.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in the industry, like I say, for 35 years. I once had 750 employees working underneath me, and all those people are still friends, and we bring them into our life, you know, from time to time whenever we need them. But then there are portals.
Mm-hmm.
If you will, where IT talent are sitting out there waiting, not unlike, you know, freelancer.com, which is well known for graphic artists and the like. There are portals out there with the same talent peoples or talent pools. And we dip into those. So we have technicians that are you know, all over the nation. And, of course, we vet them and background check them first and everything else. But they're great for whenever you run into an area that is 18 levels deep in a menu where you never go except for that one time when you really, really need it. And then you can hire that hired gun to go in and quickly find it and resolve it.
Yeah, but you know a guy or a gal.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah,
exactly.
Who can handle that, right? Yeah.
That's, like, you know, if you need your IBM Selectric typewriter fixed, you know, I'm there.
Maybe we could work out a deal. He's got all these openings. Lawrence Tech has all these students. Yeah. Maybe we could work something out there.
Well, oddly enough. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't know how you got missed.
Oh, well.
I know what it was, Mike. He wasn't here the first time I was here.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
He was closing on his house?
Yeah, that's the one where...
Oh, yeah, where I was closing on mom's house.
And Jessica and I were frantically going, oh, my God, he's been in a traffic accident or something.
No, I was just taking my time coming back, tripping and falling down memory lane with my brother. That's all I was doing.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to part with Larry Tech.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a really interesting array of programs because our computer science program sort of evolved out of the engineering program. You could always tell, you know, various schools, their IT programs, some of them evolved out of the business school, some of them evolved out of the math department, you know, at Lawrence Tech because engineering, it was originally an engineering school. That's how it kind of evolved.
Pop is an alum.
Yeah. There is a separate College of Arts and Sciences now, but it's, you know, I mean, it's an interesting, it's an interesting program and they do really good work. So I'll have to hook you up with our career people.
That'd be great.
Definitely.
Appreciate it.
Go ahead. Run with it.
I was just going to say, you know, if there's anybody out there listening that's got somebody making, you know, pondering career choices, I am telling you right now, IT and cybersecurity, all these fields.
Especially cybersecurity.
There is a huge and crying need, and anybody who wants a job can have about three.
Figures, you know, starting out kind of thing, which is unheard of.
In cybersecurity, they're making really good money.
And the thing about cybersecurity is tell people, don't worry about having to get all the way to the end of the program before you can actually exercise the use of that career. You know, the small and medium businesses, they need that talent whereby you can actually get in and get your appetite wet, you know, and kind of test things out a little bit before somebody really hits you up with a government job or something that's really, really, you know, intense.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, let's go back one more in time to talking about Cloud Tech One University. Your next session, give us those details one more time.
All right, I call it the BYOD because people recognize that acronym, which is bring your own device. But it's not only the teaching of how to do BYOD mobility, it's just mobility in general. You know, how to manage it, how to secure it, how to take the most and the best out of it, and how to overcome the pitfalls and gotchas that you might fall into if you aren't otherwise educated. And then if I could, I got a couple other things coming up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
28th and 29th of this month, there's the Michigan Association of CPAs technology show out at Suburban Collection. And we are sponsoring, and I'll be speaking on both days about BYOD.
Okay.
What a coincidence. And we'll have a booth there, and people can stop by and see us. And then, of course, in August, we've got another one coming up, a seminar at Cloud Tech One University. This one's going to be all about really intense business continuity and business disaster recovery of every level, from your very basic to your full-blown data center outsourcing, redupe, and everything else. So,
okay.
All right. And once again, folks, that's cloudtech1.com, cloudtech1.com. I want to thank our guests today, Rick Beckers from Cloud Tech One, Dan Steenan and Richard Steenan and Dan Lorman, Laurel and Hardy there, our cybersecurity experts, and they're great guys, and we love them. And they're here once a month to talk cybersecurity, and Rob Tassani from Red Level Networks. And so that wraps up another show for another week.
And just as a heads up on not next week, but the following Monday is the 4th of July, and we're going to be taking off. I mentioned that to Jessica already. But
yes, and we have to thank Jessica, our wonderful engineer.
Where would we be without her?
Makes this thing,
absolutely.
You know, to the extent it's any good, it's about her. So, all right.
Thank you, guys.
Sure.
You're too sweet.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Until next week, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Thanks for listening to M-Squared TechCast,
a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.